As I've been preaching on here lately, some of the things, and I know some of it's been mentioned here this morning, I've been using kind of like a theme what I've been preaching on, and I start off with over in 1 Peter 4:17. And I'm going to, the scripture I'm going to read my sermon from this morning is James 5:16. You can turn there here in just a minute. But I've said this for a while, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The reason why it seems like God's been pushing me in this direction on this is because, you know what? I believe the church needs to get ready. I believe the church needs to get ready because you don't have to look around. You don't have to be some kind of prophet to see what's going on in the world today and to know, brothers and sisters, that the church, the people need to be ready and to try to be on fire for God as much as they can be. This is what we need to do. So if you would, if you found James 5:16, let us stand and read God's word, please. James 5:16. Stand in honor of his word if you can, please. I'm going to back up and start verse 13 and come down to it. So just bear with me here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I'm going to concentrate on 5:16 today. So confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man does what? It availeth much. It availeth much. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning, Lord, again one more time. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in God, we have to be in God's house, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace that you bestowed upon, for the love that you bestowed upon. Lord, I ask you now to go with each and every one of us here today, Lord. Open up our hearts, open up our minds. And Father, put the anointing upon the service, Lord. Put the anointing upon the preaching. And Father, we will give you the praise for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, and it's after 10 years of, after 10 years of faithful service, it's over. I'm here to tell you it's over. And what I'm talking about is I've had a walkie-talkie at work that died on me this past week. I've had that thing for about 10 years. And I could have given that thing 3 weeks of bed rest. I could have put all kind of bandages all around that thing. But after it was all said and done, it still wouldn't work, no matter what it did. So I had to end up replacing it. And we know that all happens to a lot of different machines, right? If you've got a washer, a dryer, if you've got a refrigerator, if you've got a TV, if you've got an automobile, whatever it may be, we know that just like that walkie-talkie, there's times that things like that go bad and you have to replace them and you have to fix them, right? You do. I know, just bear with me here a little bit. I got a point on all this. Now, the human body is not like that. A healthy human body can heal itself. It can. A healthy human body can heal itself. I accidentally have cut my hands on numerous occasions up work and at the house. And you know what? It didn't take long. It didn't do much to them. But it didn't take long, probably after a couple weeks. They would heal fine. They'd be fine. I've got little scars I could show you. But anyway, they healed up. No more cut. And you know what? How did that happen? Because this is important for us to understand. This is important for us to understand. The moment that I got cut, the body jumped into action, did it not? Platelets were sent to the body to stop the bleeding. White blood cells were sent there to fight the infection. And also what happened after that, there were these special cells that were there that would take and replace the skin and replace all that stuff, that the tissue that had been lost. That's how amazingly God made the body. He did. The body is an amazing thing. God created how he sent it, and that's how it is. That's how amazing these bodies actually are. They really are. A cut, a broken bone, whatever it may be, this body has the ability to heal itself. You see, the rest of the body has the ability to do what? To come to the rescue of the hurt part of the body. It has that ability. I hope you see where I'm heading in this. I hope you see where I'm heading in this. It's pretty amazing if you really look into it. Now, back to this morning's scripture. Here's James telling us how to restore physical and spiritual health to an individual or to a church. He says this. Now, this is important to understand. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I want you to understand that this morning. That is so important. We like to take the rest of what I just read there and throw it out there. And like this right here just goes by the wayside sometimes. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That's what it says. Anyone has ever read the book of James? If you've read through it from the first beginning, you know James, throughout all the book, is dealing with different things that's going on in individuals, different things that's going on in churches. And like any good teacher or like any good preacher, if you lay out there what's going on, you better lay out there the cure for it. Am I right? Absolutely. He lays it out, a way to fix what is broken. I'm going to tell you this morning, brother and sister, there's a lot of broken people out there. There's a lot of churches that are broken out there this morning. And listen, he laid it out how to get it fixed. And the solution, praise God, the solution was not to replace the broken hurt member with new ones or better ones. That's not what he's saying. He's wanting to get the ones that are there fixed and healed, the ones that are broken, to come to the knowledge that they can be fixed or healed. Why? Because the church is like a body. It's not like a machine. That's why. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the refrigerator? No. You are the car? No, it says you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Man, I look around here and I see the body of Christ. I see it. James offers a solution. If you're hurting, if you're broke, if you're cut, if whatever the deal is for you this morning, James is offering the solution. If someone is hurt or broke, the rest of the body, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to gather around. Did you get that? We're supposed to gather around. We're supposed to help in the healing. We're supposed to help in that process. If someone falls into sin, the church should not withdraw from them. The church body should move towards them. Man, we've lost that down through the years. We've lost it. Come around them. Help restore them back to health. That's what should happen. All of the spiritual platelets. I see a lot of you in here. All of it has a place that the body to help stop that individual or help stop that church from the bleeding that takes place where Satan has inflicted the cuts and the wounds and all that goes on in their lives. All of the spiritual white blood cells that are in this church should gather around and help fight the infection of sin that is in people's lives sometimes. All, everyone is born into sin. Will you agree with me that this morning? We're all that way. We're all sinners. And if we are saved today, we are saved by the grace of God. And all those special prayer warriors, all those ones that, the special prayer warriors that have that cell that help to restore what has been taken, we are the body of Christ that should gather to do that. I venture to say there's not one individual in here that has never been lacerated or never been cut in your life. Because I know I have, and I know there's been a lot of you in here that have been cut down through your life. You have been. Whatever it may have happened to you, you've been broken, you've been cut, and praise God, you have needed those to gather around you, not to run from you. We all have needed God's people. We've all needed God's church people. We've all needed that the church to be that healing and helping hand that is needed to help us back to restoration at times in our life. We've all been there. We've all been there. Why? Because the church is a community. Is why? That above all else, I want you to understand this. As a community, we should be a loving bunch of people. That should be our first reaction. That should be our first thing to do. Whenever someone falls into sin, whenever a laceration happens to the church body, we should be the ones that have that love first mentality. My goodness, I am glad that Jesus Christ loved me. Aren't you? Are you not glad that he just doesn't throw you by the wayside? Are you not just glad that he doesn't take you out and say, well, I've had enough of you? Because he's never done that to me, and I know he's never done it to you. It says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. So the body has a part in this healing process. It does. The church members, if someone falls, if someone's hurt, if someone's cut or broken, the body has a part in this process. But I want to lay it out even to you, even closer to you this morning. The individual has a part in this as well. Confess your faults one to another. And this is where it gets to. This is where it gets down to the brass tacks. This is where it gets to where the rubber meets the road. What does confessing your faults mean? What does that mean? What does confessing your sins, what's it say, have to do with the healing process? Actually, it has a lot to do with it. Actually, it has a bunch to do with it. Let's define confession. Confession is defined this way: admitting that one is guilty. I'm going to tell you something here this morning. Human beings, a lot of them are not designed that way. We don't want to admit anything. We don't want to admit that we're wrong in anything. We don't want to admit that we're anything other than we think in our own eyes that we are better than somebody else. But if you want healing in your life, it says this: admit that you're guilty first. It's admission of one's sin with repentance and desire of absolution. You get that? It's admission that you have sinned. It's admission that you have failed. And yes, get this, it can involve intimate personal relationships. Confess your faults one to another. But preacher, what's airing my dirty laundry? What's that going to be? Well, won't that cause trouble? Won't people look down at me? Well, maybe. But that's their fault. You get what I'm saying? Maybe. Maybe I'm asking you a simple question this morning. And this is for everybody in the sound of my voice this morning. Do you want healing? I'm not talking just about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about mental. And I'm talking about physical. But do you want healing this morning? It says confess your faults one to another. Because guilt and secret sins that are not taken care of, and I want you to understand this because this is important, can cause emotional and physical damage to you. Did you know that? It can cause that. Whether you know it or not, if you have something that you're not willing to confess, number one, to Jesus, and then maybe you might have to confess it to somebody else here on this earth. I'm going to read that whole thing again. Can cause separation from God in the end. I want you to understand that. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up if they have committed sins. They shall be forgiven them. Do you understand that? They're talking here, sometimes you're praying for sinners to be healed. They're talking about that. They can't get through to God only with the sinner's prayer. The Bible teaches that. So whose faith are they talking about? They're talking about the body that is gathered around. And the Lord shall raise my faith from his sin, and they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. If they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The one that is sick faith is not what's at work here. It's the body's faith. It's the body's faith. It's the ones that's praying for them. I've heard both extremes of this, Ken, like you have as well, like anybody else in this church has heard. I've heard, well, if they don't get healed, they don't have any faith at all. I've heard that, well, that nonsense has been done away with a long time ago. I'm telling you, it's here. It's in the Bible. And I believe God has a will and a plan for the body and for the individual. But you gotta go by what the book says. Both ends of this argument, I believe, are out of bounds. But that's for another sermon. And I will get into that one of these days, Lord allows. But that's for another sermon. I believe both ends of the spectrum is out of bounds. But my focus today is on the spiritual healing part. That's what I want to talk about with all of you here today. And how confessed sin, unconfessed sin, listen, can not only make you sick physically, but it can make you sick mentally. It can make you sick spiritually. David knew this, and we all knew what David did. Over in Psalms 32, it says this in 3 through 4. Listen, it says, when I kept silent, this is David, my bones waxed old, my roaring all the day long. For day and night, my hand was heavy upon me. Thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer. You know what he's saying? His mouth got dry. He said he couldn't, he said, when I kept all this stuff inside and I thought no one knew, when I thought no one knew what was going on in my life, when I thought this was going on, David is saying, listen to what he's saying is happening to his body. Unconfessed sin will take a toll on your body, especially when it goes on for years. And once in a while, can I say this? Science will catch up to the body. Or catch up to the Bible. It will. A study done at the University of Texas, and I want you guys to understand this. I want you to look at this. And when I got to looking at this up, and it talked about guilt and unconfessed things in a person's life, a study has shown unresolved guilt feelings will weaken the immune system, will make you susceptible to all kinds of sicknesses and illnesses, and will decrease your mental ability. They also confound that unconfessed wrong towards someone will do the same damage as and affect your hormones as if you've smoked for years. It will affect your autoimmune system. It will affect your metabolism, your blood pressure, and your organ functions. This was a study that was done over a 10 to 15 year period for unconfessed stuff in people's lives. Studies have also shown when you have a secret, there's an actual physical conflict in your brain. See, science is catching up to what David said. It said between the parts that wants to tell and the parts that wants to keep it secret. Keeping a secret, especially from a loved one and from others, is not good for your health. And the Bible has already talked. Already, your brain doesn't handle the stress well. It won't. Listen to me. I haven't even talked about the spiritual part of this thing. This is just talking about what physical harm comes to your body when you keep stuff and you do not get it right. And you're saying, well, that's just a fundamental truth of the Bible. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. So if you confess to God and then after that, you may be dealt with to confess it to whoever needs to be talked to here on this earth, God will set you free. Absolutely. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, this is talking about Jesus and God. He said, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's an old saying, although it's not found in the Bible, but it's in principle all through the Bible. It says this: confession is good for the soul. Confession is good for the soul. That's what it says. Heartfelt, true confession. Do you understand that? It can't be none of this stuff. It's hard. It's got to be heartfelt, true confession, not only to him, but to whoever you've wronged. Don't miss that. We are not only to confess our sins to God, but we are to confess them especially to whoever we've harmed. Listen, if you've wronged someone, it's not just enough to confess to God. And I want you to be upfront with that this morning. I want you to understand that. It's not just enough to do that. Confess your faults one to another. You got that? Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. That's not separate from anything else. Jesus laid it out in Matthew 18, 15. He laid out a principle like this: moreover, and if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. Peter said this over in 1 Peter 3, 7 and 8. Likewise, this is dealing with husbands and wives, and this is important for your prayer life. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you understand that? That your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion of one another. Love as a brother, and be pitiful, be courteous. Ask God to forgive, then ask the individual to forgive you. Don't miss that, because God, that is such an important principle here this morning. And I know it got quiet, but I'm here to tell you this morning. I ask you, do you want healing? Healing comes when we do what the Bible says, not what Dave Long says. Again, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. What about the ones that have been wronged? Or a church that has been wrong? Listen, holding grudges. Oh, and one more thing I want to add to this. Thank you, Lord. I want to add to this. We do our communion. Every time that we do our communions, I go to that one scripture for one reason only. You know why? Because I want you to think about if there's anything in your life that needs taken care of. And if you really dig into that scripture, it's talking about unconfessed hidden sins. That's over in 1 Corinthians where we're talking, we do our communion here. That's what it's talking about. And it's telling you to get it right or don't take communion. They said that's why there's many sick. That's why there's many that die. Holding grudges and not forgiving is unacceptable as well. Because, you know, if people come to you and they're asking for forgiveness and it's something that has happened and you're sitting there thinking, well, I ain't going to forgive them. That's wrong out of you. In Matthew, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, and Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times 70. We do understand the concept there. What he's saying is, there's never a time when it ends. Our forgiveness should not ever end. I thank God that his forgiveness towards me and to you has never ended. Then said his Lord after that he had called him and said, remember the wicked servant? Remember the servant? He went to the king and he begged the king for forgiveness. And the king gave him forgiveness of what he owed. Well, this servant went out and he found someone that owed him money and had him thrown into prison. And then the king found out about it. And he said this. He said, likewise shall my heavenly father, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that he do unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Boy, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? In other words, he's not going to forgive you. God's not going to forgive you. Jesus is not going to forgive you if you cannot find it in your heart to forgive. Yes, we have been done wrong. Yes, people have done us wrong. But to hold on to that is not an option. Would you like to be forgiven? Man, Lord, I'm telling you, Greg, if I've done anything against you, I would love for you to forgive me. And I hope that you would like the same thing out of me. Well, the Bible principle says here, therefore all things whatsoever you do unto men should do you to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. There's always steps in this. I don't have time to go into all the scripture that I'd like to on this. But it says, confess to everyone your sin has affected. And these are some things that I wanted to lay out here. And I may get into a little bit of scripture. I don't know, I ain't got time. If it's affected one person, just go and talk to that one person. If two people are involved, talk to those two people. Let me tell you why. There was a situation at a church one time where a girl had gotten pregnant out of wedlock, a young girl. They called her up in front of the whole church. That is dead wrong. She didn't do that against the whole church. If anything, she confessed it to whoever needed to be done, that little circle. And that's the same with us. It's whoever you are, who's ever affected in that circle. The arena of confession should be the same as the arena of offense. Do you get that? Absolutely. Avoid, number two, avoid if, but, and maybe. We don't say I'm sorry, then add, well, if you made me do it. Well, you know what? If you hadn't have done what you did, if you hadn't been, that's not asking for true forgiveness. That's trying to place the blame on somebody else for your actions. And that's not right. Confess your faults heartfeltly one to another that you may be healed. I'm sorry, or maybe I wouldn't have done that, but you know. And number three, this is important because this is something that's going to happen. Accept the consequences. Amen? Sometimes there are going to be consequences for something you've done. And you better be willing to accept them. This is much bigger than just between you and another human being. This is your eternity in heaven that I'm talking about here this morning. This is what I'm saying. Listen, can I tell you a story that I read back years ago? And I remember this stuck out to me. This 14th Avenue, somebody brought the newspaper article in. A gentleman had got saved. Jesus had miraculously saved him. Well, he was a hunter, and he went out and hunted, but he got deer illegal and he got squirrels illegal. God started dealing with him. He went and confessed it. God had dealt with him so much, he went to the DNR and confessed it. They made him pay a big fine, took his license away for a little bit, but at the end of the article he said, I felt so relieved. You say, well, that's kind of radical. No, we're talking about heaven and going to heaven. We all know Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there are consequences for our sins. There will be consequences for your confessions from time to time. There will be. But again, I'm telling you, this is bigger than just you and me. I would not want to go out of this world knowing what I should have done to face a God that tells me in my Bible that I need to get things right. If you've done wrong ought against your brother, you're supposed to go make it right. Not go out of this life like that. James 5:16, one more time. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Let me tell you something. If you're in that situation, you go find the prayer warriors. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You go find someone that you can put your trust in. I go to you and I ask you to pray for me. If I go to you and I ask you to pray for me, that's not for you to go tell it to everybody else in the church. That's not for you to go say and talk to everybody else down the road. That's between me and you and the good Lord above. And listen, you find them. You get them out. This is so important. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman is important in the life of a Christian, especially somebody that is dealing, that is broken, that has been cut, that needs that in their lives. Having them pray. James is saying there's all types of these, but you need a prayer warriors in your life. I look around, there's people I put my trust in that I could talk to, and I know that if I went to them with a situation, they're not going to blab it everywhere, but they are going to get on their knees and pray for me. They're going to show me the scriptures, and you need to be honest with them. And prayer warriors, let me tell you this morning. If somebody comes to you, don't be afraid to tell them that you were cut one time, that you were broken at one time, and that something was going on in your life, and that you one time are just like they were at one time. You needed the prayers of those people. You get those types of folks involved. Get them involved. Go to someone you trust who is powerful in prayer. Go to someone who knows the scriptures and confess to them openly and honestly what is going on in your life. I know a few of you went to the men's retreat down here a few years ago. A few of you went down there. But I know that the people confess in their lives what was going on. And I'm telling you what, these are men of God. And it would surprise you at times what is going on in our lives. Maybe it wouldn't, maybe it would. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that is not to be broadcast all over the world. And remember, that is so reciprocal. Because my time may come, again, where I'm broken, where I'm cut, where I'm hurting, and I need to confess something to you. And I need you to understand. And I need you to love. These wrongs that's going on can either be besetting, or they could be something that's happened one time years ago. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it needs to be made right if you want healing in your life. I could go into so many things on this. I mean, you could be sitting here this morning and thinking, what will people think of me? Can I be blunt with you this morning? People is not who you should be worried about. If you die and go out of this world, those people aren't who you should be worrying about. You'll stand before a just and a righteous God one day. And he's going to say, well, the word said this, why didn't you do that? Well, I was worried about, you're not going to be able to talk to a woman, but you're going to be, it ain't going to work that way. Listen, I'm not saying confession is going to be easy. I'm not saying that there isn't going to be consequences. I don't stand up here and I won't lie to you like that because I know better. I know better. It isn't going to be easy, and sometimes there are consequences. Without confession, though, there is no healing. 1 Corinthians 8:12. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak consciences, I want you to understand this. It says, ye sin against Christ. That's the word of God. It's not just against them. It's not just against, you sin against Christ. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. I lay that out this morning. When combining this with other scriptures, there can be physical and spiritual and mental healing in your life. Something else God lets us pull out of the scriptures, confess your faults one to another. Amen. Isn't that something? Isn't it awesome? Don't be afraid. Don't be vulnerable. Don't feel like you're vulnerable if you're like that. You're not. You're human beings. We're all subject to things down here. Greg said it earlier in his teaching. We're all subject to these things. We can take and we can make things, we can make people, We can make people and hurt them and make things happen in their life just the same as it does ours. None of us are perfect. You guys see the warts on me? There's a bunch of them. I've got warts all over me, down through the years. And I guarantee you, every one of you got warts on you too. The thing we need to do is we need to confess what needs to be confessed. Sometimes things are just mental, and they need between you and God. But sometimes these are things become actions, and then that's when it affects somebody else. And I'm telling you, it is important. It is important. If judgment first begins at the house of God, if judgment first begins in your house, if judgment first begins in your life, oh, I heard this one time from a preacher, and he said, what if we had a church that was just full of confession instead of complaining? You know what kind of church we'd have? We'd have a powerful, spiritual, on fire for God church that could go out here in this community and tell them, listen, you need Jesus in your life. We know what you're going through. That's what kind of church we'd have. I hope you get this morning what I'm saying. Confess your faults one to another. And I'll tell you what, God can heal. Belinda, let's get a song.